Welcome to Lighthouse Chapel International, Columbus, Ohio. We invite you to discover the life-changing anointed word of God as you listen to this message by Reverend Gilbert Asamoah. Reverend Gilbert Asamoah is a well-seasoned minister who serves as the General Overseer of the Rackham Diocese in Lighthouse Chapel International, USA. Founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills, with over 1,800 branches worldwide. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Leading us, O God, even as we worship you, may the words that come out of our mouth be meditations of our hearts, and may it be acceptable to you, O Lord. May it be acceptable to you, Lord. May it be acceptable to you, Lord. You are my strength like no other, strength like no other, reaches to me. Yes. You are my strength, oh yes, strength like no other, strength like no other, reaches to me. You are my hope, Lord. You are my hope, hope like no other, hope like no other, reaches to me. You are my hope. You are my hope, hope, hope like no other, hope like no other, reaches to me. You are my strength, Lord. You are my strength, yeah. Strength like no other, strength like no other, reaches to me. You are my hope, you are my hope. Oh, 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 hope like no other. Oh, 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 hope like no other. Reaches to me. You are my hope, Lord. You are my hope. Lord, you are my hope. Sing it again.
You are my strength.
Oh, you are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Oh,
strength like no other. Reaches
coming. You are my hope. You are my hope.
When all is lost, you are my hope, Lord.
My hope like no other.
When all seems hopeless, you are
hope like no other.
Reaches
to me
in the fullness,
in the fullness of your love, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up
in the fullness,
in the fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up.
Hey.
You lift me up.
Your love, Lord,
your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven.
Your
faithfulness reaches to the sky.
Your love, O Lord, your love, O Lord.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heaven.
Your
faithfulness reaches to the sky.
Your love, oh Lord,
your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky.
You are my strength, yeah.
You are my strength.
Lord, you are
strength like no other. Strength like no other reaches to me.
You are my hope.
You are my hope. Hope like no other. Hope like no other. Reaches to me
in the fullness of your grace,
in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up.
The fullness,
in the fullness
of your grace,
in the power
of your name,
you lift me up. You lift me up.
Your love, oh Lord.
It reaches to the heaven.
Your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness reaches to the sky.
Your love, O Lord,
reaches to the heavens.
Your faithfulness, Lord.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Your love, O Lord.
Your love, O God, reaches to the heavens.
Your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Your love, O Lord.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens.
Your faithfulness.
Your faithfulness reaches to the sky.
Father, we thank you for loving us when we did not deserve it, for showing your mercy on us consistently when we did not deserve it. I speak for myself, Lord. It is to me as well, my God. Thank you. Your love knows bounds. It knows no bounds, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are our strength. You are our hope. You are all in all, like none ever. We are grateful to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Let's get ready to receive the word. Amen.
Amen.
From our own Reverend Bill Gilbert Asamoah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. Thank you for sharing your son Jesus with us. That has given us hope and strength. And that your unfailing love is our assurance for continuing on. We pray that the grace for prayer comes upon us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank the Lord. We are studying 10 reasons why every Christian must pray. And we have reached point number 8, so we are going to keep going. Amen. What was point number 8, which we covered last week? Hallelujah. Amen. Greatness in ministry is measured by what? How much of what you have done? How much of what you have done determines your greatness in ministry? No, it's a question. How much of prayer you have done determines your greatness? Hallelujah. Amen. And we found out that Jesus Christ could have continued for as long as he needed, because he did not have the corrupted Adamic seed in him. So he was not going to die. In fact, if the fall had not happened, Adam and Eve would not have died. Death came because of the fall and sin. And in Jesus, there was no sin. So if greatness in ministry was to be determined by preaching, Jesus could have continued preaching. He would have left Israel. He would have gone to Syria. He would have finished preaching in Syria. He would have gone to Persia. He would have continued from Persia to India. Hallelujah. He would then come west all the way to Greece. Then he would go to Italy. Then he would have continued to the barbarians. Back at that time, the English were barbarians. That is what the Romans called them. Amen. Yeah, because you can tell that English had had an influence on the language by Latin. And the Romans were considered, they considered themselves as the more civilized one. Amen. All the way to the Nordic regions, Jesus would have continued preaching. And of course, he would have come to Africa. Hallelujah. So, the fact that he ended it to go to the cross, to die and go to heaven and be at the right hand of the Father, to continue his ministry there in the form of intercession, means that prayer is the more important part of his ministry. Amen. And if his life is a pattern for us, then we ought to make prayer the more important part of our ministry. Amen. You see, in Lighthouse Chapel, the work of a shepherd has traditionally been defined by the four acronyms, which are what? PVCI, which are prayer, visitation, counseling, and interaction. Hallelujah. Now, you notice that Bishop wrote another book in which he expanded these four things called Transform Your Pastoral Ministry. Amen. And in that book, the prayer is half the book, but mathematically should have been one quarter the book. But he spent more time talking about prayer. Hallelujah. All right. So we are moving on to the ninth reason why every Christian or every minister must pray. Pray because prayer releases captives. Amen. Prayer releases captives. You will notice from Luke chapter 4 that the release of captives is one of the primary reasons why Christ came. Let's go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus quoting from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Amen. So, there is a group of people called the captives. People who are called captives, it means what has happened to them. They've been captured. Amen. And what happened to the human race was an infiltration by the enemy of our souls to take captive of our souls. Amen. And a big part of Christian ministry is to release people from captives. Part of it is preaching, hallelujah. But a big chunk of it is praying. Because you are going to find out that the incursion of Satan into human life has transcended into all the different aspects of humanity. Now, we learn from the seven great principles that man is what? Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Hallelujah. So, Satan's ability to capture man originally and the foundational level is that he will capture the soul or capture the spirit. Amen. And then, when you get born again, what has happened is that the Bible says in the book of Colossians chapter 1 that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When a person is born again, it means they've been rescued from the kidnapping or capturing of Satan, their spirit man. Hallelujah. But that is the beginning. That is the initial step of your salvation. So, the fact that a person is born again does not mean that they don't remain a captive of Satan in some sense. Because as the spirit man is born again, now the soul needs to gradually undergo renewal because the mind is part of the soul. Now, you will see that somebody can be in the church, can still be a believer, but their mind is still a captive of Satan. Hallelujah. So, they are saved, but their thinking is not consistent with the word of God. And anywhere the word of God is not ruling, who is ruling? Satan is ruling. The word of a king, there is power. And when the word of God has not taken dominion over something or someone, it means there's an area of darkness that is under Satan's control. Amen. So the sobering fact is that this captivity that we are talking about, it could include us. That is, to the extent that the way we think, aspects of our thinking, is not what the word of God requires, it means that Satan still has control over those aspects. Perhaps, most likely, not 100%. You've been a Christian for a long time. You have released some aspects to God and some aspects you are still holding on to it. Hallelujah. And anywhere, there's no vacuum. There's no middle ground. Anywhere that the word of God has not taken dominion, then you are a captive of the devil to that extent. Hallelujah. And one of the things prayer does is that prayer dislodges and disengages the devil. Because you see, it's interesting how sometimes in the past, in the Old Testament, God is trying to punish the people of Israel. And he sends the Assyrians to do the job for him. Amen. In 2 Kings, you read, you know, where he was prophesying, he said that, look, the Assyrians, what they did to the northern tribes, these Assyrians are not God-fearing people. Amen. They are the enemy of God. But God kept on selling prophets and prophesying to them, and they are not listening. So he had no choice but to send the Assyrians. And one Assyrian king, he got too proud, thinking that he did it on his own mind. The Lord said, hey, I will show you that it's just because I removed my protection. That is why you got a chance to torment my people. Hallelujah. Now, in a certain sense, Satan is also here for a time and for a reason. Amen. So, when we are praying, we need to understand that there are some things called the dispensations and timings of God. So, for instance, think of the madman of Gadara. When the madman of Gadara, Jesus was casting the demons out of him. I mean, this man is like completely captivated by the demons. Hallelujah. I mean, it's not just the spirit or the soul, but even his body had been captivated. Amen. But when Jesus was casting the demons out, what request did they make to Jesus? Not to take them out of that country. So demons are territorial. And strange enough, Brother Johnny, it's a very strange type of permission. Jesus allowed them to stay in that territory. Only that he did not allow them to remain in the man's body. But he said, you know what? It seems like this area is your domain. So instead of they remaining in him, he cast them into the group of pigs. And then the pigs went into the sea. But if the pigs went into the sea, what is going to happen to the pigs? They are going to drown. But the spirits in the pigs, what will happen to them? They will come out and find somebody else to enter. In the same region, the same county, the same province, the same district, wherever, depending upon where you come from. The same region. Hallelujah. Tofiakwa. My parents live there. Stop that rough there. Amen. But that's what is happening. One time, Bishop was casting out demons I forget whether it was a male or female, but the demon said they won't come out. And then when they were pressed further, the demon said, I will come out, but I would like to enter somewhere. He said, who do you want to enter? Then he pointed to an usher. Ushers, you must be prayerful. Because demons are seeking to enter you. Amen. So, but the point, one point we need to understand is that, you see, you cannot eliminate the devil from the earth until the time God has ordained. In fact, there's a scripture. Let's look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 8, verse 29. Matthew 8 and verse 29. Let's look at that scripture. Okay, maybe let's start from 28 so we can get a picture. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. Amen. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Before the time. So it means that even the demons know that there's a time that they'll be permanently bound. But until then, they have freedom to move around. And what Jesus did when he came to the cross was to give to a group of people who will believe in him, to give us a type of police or immunity and a type of authority that would allow us to dislodge and temporarily dislocate devils. Hallelujah. So it's like there's a war zone in Middle East, Syria, Iraq, and United States Air Force need a place to land. Do you understand? So then they will fight among the rebels and among the opposition forces, and then establish an enclave. And once they establish that enclave, that becomes territory that they can launch missiles from. Do you see? U.S. has not completely taken over Syria or Iraq. That's why the war is still going on. But there are pockets of the place where U.S. has control. And you as a believer, your prayer becomes a launching pad for God to restrain the devil so that he will not have his full access and do whatever he wants. Hallelujah. So Bishop said this. He said, our duty as Christians is to weaken the grip of these demonic powers over the souls on this earth. To weaken his grip. Amen. At best, our spiritual warfare can dislodge, displace, or temporarily relocate demonic forces so that God's kingdom can gain ascendancy for a season. Hallelujah. Why is this important? It may be that, you know, people who think either or, if Satan is not permanently bound and I'll do nothing, no. You can do something. Your prayer can do something. Your prayer can release people from captives, from captivity of the devil. And then during that time, God's work will happen in their lives. Hallelujah. Because the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that there will come a time when Satan will be permanently bound. If you look at the Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. When you see someone holding a chain, somebody's about to be bound. Amen. You see, the whole thing is that it's a mystery. Madam Sally, there's a mystery to it. There's a mystery. You see, this period looks so long to us, but perhaps in the realm of the spirit, it's like 5 minutes ago. It's like an ant walking from this wall to this wall to the ant. It's like 1 year. But to you and I, you can do it in less than 1 minute. Do you understand? So in terms of timing, it seems like, why is God taking so long? But when we go to the spirit realm, we would understand. Do you understand? Now, this is what it says. That verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan. The serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, also called the dragon. And bound him for what? 1,000 years. One time, wouldn't it be nice? If Satan is bound for 1,000 years, you wish you are born during, madam, what don't you think you are born during that time? That Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Even let's bind him for 1 year. Amen. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Amen. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is that it has not yet come for the time for him to be bound for 1,000 years. So right now, our prayers can release captives from him to weaken his grip on people. Amen. Now, the mystery of it is that after the 1,000 years, because during the 1,000 years, there will be peace on earth. There will be no war. There will be no confusion. I mean, all the havoc that devils are doing, it will be. But then there will be people too who will be born during that time. Hallelujah. People will be born during the 1,000 years. And during the 1,000 years, in order for it to be fair, do you understand? They too must be tempted. They too must have the same opportunity that to follow. Because if you don't have a choice, like if you and a certain lady get dropped from an airplane and dropped on an island, let's say you were 10 and 12, and you grew up on this island, and then when you reach the stage of wanting a beloved, and you tell the girl that, look, you are the mosquito, only mosquito in my net. I love you. All the raps that, there's no other choice. So, how can she really know for sure that your love is genuine? Are you following the example? So there has to be the opportunity for choosing. Amen. And so let's jump to verse 10. It's all part of the mystery. The devil who deceived them was cast. Oh, maybe we would start from, let's say, 7. Let's see what happened from verse 7 down. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Amen. And will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is at the sand of the sea. So you would think that during the 1,000 years where there was peace on earth, you would think that everybody loves peace. Nobody would like to rebel against God anymore. Brother Nicholas, are you surprised? That after 1,000 years where Jesus has reigned, that there's nothing bad, everything is peaceful, you would think that everybody would love it. No. There are some people who don't love peace. And so Satan has to be released to go and test them so that those who don't belong in the kingdom of God, who are only following that thing because of the devil's absence, they will be withered out. They will be weaned out. Amen. God is very just. And so they went up where? They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Hallelujah. So these people, in their impudence, they will rise up and mount one last campaign against God. Okay? The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So you see, the false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist, they won't even get the opportunity to die physically. They'll be cast into the lake of fire alive, together with the devil, forever and forever. But until then, what we have is that we have an ongoing enemy who is opposed to us. And our prayer, when we pray, it's like we are firing missiles. Hallelujah. And some of the way the devil works is not what you think. It's not the traditional way you think. It's like subtle infiltration into our thoughts. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We are talking about your prayer releases captives. Unbelievers are captives of the devil. So the first group of captives will be unbelievers. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Hallelujah. Casting down arguments. So you see, whatever is the stronghold is being defined here. Go back to verse 4. It says that the weapons of our warfare are mighty. Is that not so? They are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And then the next verse is giving us the strongholds. Hallelujah. Casting down arguments. Arguments. So arguments in our mind are a stronghold of the devil. The captivity that your prayer is going to release people from. Because pray because your prayer releases captives. Is that there is arguments in people's minds. That is why they are not responding to God. Even when you are preaching, there are arguments in people's mind. You are preaching and someone is saying, how about this? How about that? It's like there's a dialogue, constant dialogue in people's minds. The unbeliever friend you are trying to invite to church, the reason why they are not coming is that there's an argument in their mind. Some are saying, you know, I don't trust all these churches, you know, they are just getting people's money. That's the argument going on in somebody's mind. Hallelujah. And so, understand that when we say people are going to be released from captivity of the devil, often it is something in their mind that your prayer is going to make something click all of a sudden. Like they will be freed from the dominion of the devil in their mind. Okay, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you see, all the thinking of the world, all the standards of the world, the culture of the world, which they have lifted up above God's standards. Amen. It seems so reasonable if you live in the world. A lot of them seem so reasonable. For instance, the thought that, look, if what I'm doing, I'm not hurting anybody, then what is wrong with it? Do you understand? All those things are high things that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. And your prayer, when you are praying, like for instance, you are struggling with someone for them to know the Lord better. Somebody is a Christian already, but then an aspect of their thinking. Because the other day, I heard a story about a young lady who is a Christian, but does not find anything wrong with, you know, same-sex relationships. Because the world has affected her thinking. Are you listening to me? Yeah. And so, anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is a captivity. It's like the mind has been held captive. And then, the next thing is bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what is happening is that those who are captives of the devil, we want to what? Capture them for Christ. Does that make sense? You are going to be a captive of somebody by all means. I mean, it is a whole lot better to be a captive of Christ. Paul, in most of his letters, he starts by saying, Paul, a born servant of Christ. Amen. And so, the whole Christian warfare scenario is about zogrio. Zogrio is a Greek word that was used to describe, to capture. Hallelujah. Let me look at what the Strong's Bishop actually had a camp called Zogrio. If you have the Makane, it's a nice camp to listen to. Zogrio was used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24, and then to 26, and then Luke 5, 1 to 10. But Zogrio means, this is a Greek word, it means to catch alive or to take alive, make a prisoner of war. People have been made prisoners of war by the devil. Amen. Your prayer is supposed to free them from the devil's prison. To capture, Zogrio means to capture, to catch. So let's look at 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. The King James says, who oppose themselves. Amen. That sometimes somebody is doing something that they are clearly hurting themselves, and you try to reason with them, they don't seem to get it. Do you get it? They don't seem to understand what you are saying. It says that in humility we should correct them. They are in opposition to themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Keep in mind that acknowledging of the truth is happening in the mind. The freedom from captivity starts in the mind. Hallelujah. So that God would have mercy on them to that they would repent and acknowledge the truth. And the next verse, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. That word captive there is zogrio. Hallelujah. So you see, the whole Christian thing is not... You've been a teacher before, Madam Sally. Have you had a situation where you are trying to explain something to someone, explain and explain, they don't get it. You wish that you could cut their head and put it in. Is that not so? So also is the Christian life. Sometimes that is how it is, that why doesn't this person get it? What they are doing to themselves, they are destroying themselves. And you try to explain, it's because they are captive of the devil. And so you need to look at it with empathy and patience. Amen. It is not by force and or by threat. You can't make somebody a better Christian by threat and by force and by shoutings. Brother Johnny, people who are in the church, who may, you may be wondering, why they've been in the church forever? Why are they like this? They are what? Satan has taken captive of them at his will. You need to approach it with prayer and patience. Hallelujah. There is not on their own that they are doing that. There is a dominion working in their mind. Every high thing that is exalted against them, we need to take captive of their thoughts. And you need to bring them before God. Make a list of the people. If they are in your area of fellowship, if they are Christians, you are trying to make a list of them and begin to pray and bind the devil and release them. Hallelujah. It is not by physical fight or by threats or by intimidation. Hallelujah. This is the work we need to do, really. Because the more we pray and release people from captivity, the more we will see them in church. The more they will become more consistent. And the unbelievers too. Satan is having a field day jubilating over them because he has them in his company. Now your prayer can break through the fence of the enemy and release them. Just like U.S. Army will go to where? Somalia or wherever they've kidnapped somebody and go and fight and deliver somebody. Your prayer can do that. Spiritually, that is what is going on. And a lot of it is in the mind. So we are laying this platform that a big chunk of our activities will not be fruitful if we don't attack it also spiritually. Because it is like a wound which you are trying to treat. If all you do is to put plaster on it and put plaster on it, sometimes you need to open it squarely and let the thing open and then put topaya. You know topaya. Somebody tell this young lady what topaya is. Amen. It's a type of castle for wound. Amen. That is how it is, that things are behind things. And if you don't treat that way, the thing, infection will happen. So God has called us that he's raising an army to be prayer warriors. To call, see, have a list of people you pray for. Hallelujah. A lot of talkings and counseling. Talking. Like Bishop said, he saw, I think Bishop Adi or somebody, counseling somebody. And he went and did something and came back after 12 midnight. The counseling was still going on and the people are still not understanding. He said, you know what, Bishop Adi, let's close the counseling because something is not working. Sometimes it's not a lot of talking. We need to break certain powers that are controlling people's minds. Put your hands together unto the Lord. And rise up to your feet. As we commit ourselves to the Lord, let's take out an offering. Father, help us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. We pray that you give us the grace to become people that influence how people think through prayer. Influence the kingdom of darkness by breaking people free from the captivity of the devil. And now we give our offerings and our gifts to you as a token of our love. May you receive them. May the preaching of Christ and the liberation of captives go on in the name of Jesus. Amen.